Today on A Daily Walk, Pastor John Randall draws attention to the battle of the mind.
Have you ever noticed? I don't think I am alone in this. But have you ever been surprised by thoughts that come into your mind? The craziest, most insane thoughts. And you think, where did that come from? That's insanity. Why am I thinking that? But you know what I'm talking about. And sometimes those thoughts, even the most defiling thoughts, come in times of studying the Word of God, times of worship where singing God's praise, a thought comes across your mind. And you think, where did that come from? It comes from the devil. The Apostle Peter knew that the battle within the mind is never so difficult as when you are going through trials and hardship.
When a trial comes into our lives, like the COVID-19 pandemic, it's common to experience a number of emotions, fear, worry, or anger, to name a few. And those emotions, if we're not careful, can distort our thinking and lead us to wrong decisions. Pastor John Randall suggests testing every thought by the Word of God, especially during trials. He'll explain why as we move along today in our study of 1 Peter. Today on A Daily Walk, we're learning what it takes to win the battle of the mind.
1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. When nations rise against nation in battle, there are several tactics that are employed to bring about the defeat of one's enemy and to ultimately win the war. One tactic is to defeat your enemy mentally before the battle ever begins, to incite fear in order to take away your adversary's will to fight. And one of the most effective devices in this kind of tactical warfare is referred to as psychological warfare. The U.S. Department of Defense defines psychological warfare in this way: the planned use of propaganda and other psychological actions having the primary purpose of influencing the opinions, emotions, attitudes, and behaviors of hostile foreign groups in such a way as to support the achievement of national objectives. During World War II, the United States Joint Chiefs of Staff defined psychological warfare more broadly in this way. Psychological warfare, they said, employs any weapon to influence the mind of the enemy. The weapons are psychological only in the effect that they produce, or what they produce, and not because of the weapons themselves. There is one who has been using warfare on the minds of believers since man's existence. He is the adversary of the child of God. He is the devil. And he loves to incite fear, discouragement, hopelessness, suspicion, bitterness, unforgiveness, and the list goes on. He attacks the mind in order to rob us of the will to even engage in a spiritual conflict. And he is hopeful that it will cause us to be defeated in our lives as believers. So much of the spiritual warfare that each one of us encounters, we experience on the battlefield of our minds. When a person receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are, as the book of Colossians tells us in chapter 1, verse 13, delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And because we are now engaged in a spiritual battle, light against darkness, against principalities and powers that we cannot see with our physical eyes, we are constantly being opposed by the world system, our own fallen nature that the Bible calls the flesh, and the devil himself. And when we are confronted with this coalition of forces, the battleground, again, it is the mind. Our mind encompasses our intellect, our emotions, our rationale, our will, and ultimately the decisions that we make. As a Christian, I seek to live my life according to the will of God. I seek to have my thoughts influenced and directed by the Lord and by his word and by his Holy Spirit. It is in this process of desiring the will of God and pursuing the will of God that I encounter a struggle in the emotions, in the thoughts, in the mind. The enemy comes in seeking to cause confusion. And at times, he can even use scripture. Jesus, when confronted by the devil, you remember, the devil knows the word of God. He's been twisting it since the beginning of man's existence in order to get a believer to act outside of the will of God. He creates confusion. Have you ever noticed? I don't think I am alone in this. But have you ever been surprised by thoughts that come into your mind? The craziest, most insane thoughts. And you think, where did that come from? That's insanity. Why am I thinking that? I mean, just, I'm not even going to go into the randomness of the thinking. But you know what I'm talking about. And sometimes those thoughts, even the most defiling thoughts, come in times of studying the Word of God, times of worship where singing God's praise, a thought comes across your mind. And you think, where did that come from? It comes from the devil. It comes from the devil. The Apostle Peter knew that the battle within the mind is never so difficult as when you are going through trials and hardship. The stress of the situation, the pain that you are suffering, the hurt of a broken heart, it can cause your mind to wander or become desperate, and you start looking for answers and solutions outside of God's word, and then the enemy comes in with condemnation, or he comes in with discouragement or hopelessness, and we end up reacting emotionally or doing something that we ought not to do because our mind, we found, was attacked. The Apostle Peter knew this to be true in his own life. From the gospel record, we find that Peter was a man of great resolve. He was a man of great leadership. He was strong-willed in his nature. But we also observe his thoughts being verbalized. When he thought himself more highly than the rest of the disciples, saying, I'll never fall. The rest of these men may deny you. I will never deny you. He thought in his mind he was stronger than he really was. He was deceived in his thinking, and he eventually fell and denied the Lord three times. The believers that Peter is addressing here were in a similar condition. They were in great spiritual duress, and thus it was important for them to maintain their focus and to remember the promises that God had made to them. Therefore, Peter wisely reminded them of their so great a salvation that they had been given to them. No matter how bad the situation became, even if some of them lost their lives in martyrdom because of persecution, they would not lose their salvation. They would be with Jesus for eternity. And in light of this, Peter says now in verse 13, therefore. Now, whenever you see the word therefore in Scripture, you ask yourself, what is it there for? And in essence, what Peter is saying is, in view of the fact that you are going through many difficult trials, because your salvation is secure and your inheritance awaits you, and you have a hope that is living based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Well, that sounds a little odd. Gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? Peter is using an illustration that would be familiar with ancient culture. Men in those days did not dress as we dress today. They wore long, flowing robes. And thus, if you were ever going to do something that required exertion or some kind of strenuous activity, the long, flowing robe just would not do. You could easily stumble and trip in the process. And so in order to do something that required rapid motion, a Jewish man, if he was going to run, if he's going to fight, he would take that robe and he would pull it up through his legs and he would tie it off with a belt. His loins are girded up. His legs are free. It might look a little odd, but now he is ready for action. A Roman soldier would do the same thing. I can't fight in this robe. Hold on a second. Just get done. Strap it on. All right. Like a sumo wrestler, you know, with the rest of his body covered and not that big. But you understand, it's strapping it up, keeping you free. Your legs, you can move. You're not going to stumble in any way. In Exodus chapter 12, when the nation of Israel was departing from the bondage of Egypt, being delivered from their slavery, Moses told them, when you eat the Passover meal, have your loins girded. Meaning, we're taking this to go. We are going to eat and we are driving through. We are going. So be ready for movement, for action, lest you stumble in your journey. In the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, when the Apostle Paul was speaking specifically about spiritual warfare, he exhorted the believers to be prepared for the spiritual battle by girding their loins with truth. The belt of truth. If you are not encompassed with the truth, you will stumble. You will trip over the lies and the deceptions of the devil. And so Paul said, listen, in this battle, you got to have the truth on. The truth is the belt that holds everything together. You got to have it intact. Therefore, when Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind, he is telling us that we need to be prepared and committed for action mentally. Mentally, a disciplined mind, that we must make it a priority to guard our minds from loose thinking, from anything that would impede our progress or cause us to stumble. Things like worry. Now, if you worry long enough, you can be put in the hospital. You get jealous enough, you get covetous enough, you take somebody else's life. I mean, these are the things that have to be girded and guarded against. If we want to continue to go forward in this race, if we do not gird up the loins of our minds, the Holy Spirit's work is hindered and we are unable to use our minds clearly and we are stumbled in going forward and continuing to grow in our relationship with Christ. When Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind, it is used in what is called the Greek aorist tense, meaning a once and for all action. Removing anything that would hinder the mental faculties, spiritually speaking, anything that would stand in the way. And it's extremely important that we guard against these attacks upon the mind. That's why the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he says, watch your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs life. I mean, you got to be careful. You got to guard your heart, guard your mind. Jesus said, you remember in Mark chapter 7, that which proceeds out of a man, that is what defiles the man. For within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things proceed from within the man and defile the man. So he's saying, guard your mind. In light of that. But the question is, how can this be done? How can we live a pure life in a polluted world? How can I keep my mind unspotted from these things, you know, without stain, as it were? I believe there are a number of ways that the Bible mentions, but it begins with an understanding of there are things as a Christian I must avoid, and there are things as a believer that I am to pursue. I have to have that clear. And here's the first thing. Number one, we must be careful what we put before our eyes. We need to be careful what we put before our eyes. Jesus said in Luke's gospel, the 11th chapter, the 34th verse, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body will also be full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is then full of darkness. In other words, whatever comes through the eye gate goes into the mind and filters into the heart and eventually comes out through words or through actions. And thus, I must be extremely careful of what I put in front of my eyes. Now, there are many things you cannot avoid, but there are certain things you can avoid. You do not want to put bullets in the hand of the enemy. You don't want to give him more in his arsenal than he already possesses. He has enough in his arsenal to attack the believer in the mind. Therefore, do not put more into his hands. Guard your eyes. Guard your heart. R. Kent Hughes, great commentator, he said this concerning the eye being the gate whereby we need to guard. He said, the eye is pictured as the window through which light comes into the body. If a window is clean and the glass is clear, the light that comes in will properly light every part of the room. But he said, if the window is dirty or the glass is uneven, tinted, or discolored, the light will be hindered and the room will not receive the full benefit of the light. The light that comes into a man's soul depends on the spiritual condition of the eye through which it has to pass, because the eye is the window into the body, into the heart, into the mind. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks, so he is. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul listed 8 standards by which every child of God can test whether the things that their mind is dwelling upon is worthy of consideration. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, here's what he said. He said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. It's a great scripture to put in front of your television. Might not watch very much. It's a great scripture to put in front of your computer. It's a great scripture to put by your radio as you drive. What are we listening to? Are we guarding our ears? Are we guarding our eyes? If ever there was a day when we needed to gird up the loins of our mind, it's right now. You say, why do you say that? Because for one thing, the pornography industry is continually destroying the moral fabric of this world, and it is an epidemic. And it has become, sadly, in many ways, culturally acceptable. In times past, if you wanted to see some kind of debased material, you had to, you know, hide and go behind some building and, you know, in the darkness of night under the cover. Not anymore. Not anymore. It's not that way. No shame in it. Nothing sacred. It's just defiled. In 2006, global revenue for the pornography industry was $97.6 billion. The revenue is larger. This was a Christian website that I came across. They said that the revenue was larger than the combined revenue of technology companies like Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink. That blew my mind. And the United States of America is responsible for $13.3 billion of the industry's revenue. Internet pornography sales were $4.9 billion. There are 420 million pornographic web pages, of which 89% of them are U.S.-based. 40 million U.S. adults visit porn sites regularly, and the largest consumers of internet pornography are adults ages 35 to 44. U.S. pornography sales via cell phone totaled $26 million in 2007. The statistics for men and even for women are staggering. The effects of the pursuit of such destructive pleasures have been referred to as toxic. And the effects have been characterized by some, even in the medical field, the addiction so intense that it's similar to that of cocaine, the way that it affects your brain and your life. In many ways, this is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. Death to ministry, death to your marriage, death to future generations and how they're going to walk and how they're going to be affected. We need to seriously take this, not lightly. We need to, like Job, I have made a covenant with my eyes. We need to make a covenant with our eyes. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, the psalmist said. Listen carefully to this question. What are you placing in front of your eyes? What are you placing in front of your wife's eyes? What are you placing in front of your children's eyes? What are you allowing them to bring into your home? We are responsible. We men are the gatekeepers of our home. We need to guard it. We need to be like soldiers on guard all the time. Man, a child can get a cell phone, and in a matter of seconds, as soon as that thing is lit up, he can have a picture that is so defiling that'll never get out of his mind. These are serious times in which we're living. What are you placing in front of your eyes? Are you girding up the loins of your mind?
You're listening to a study in 1 Peter from Pastor John Randall on A Daily Walk. Did you know you can listen to A Daily Walk online at adailywalk.org? This comes in handy if you miss a study or two on the radio or would just like a replay. And sign up for our free podcast or church app so you can start receiving biblical encouragement on a regular basis. Search for CCSJC. And if you'd like a CD copy sent your way, that's available for a cost of $5. We're here to serve you at 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. It's always encouraging to hear from our listeners. The Lord deserves all the credit for anything good that comes from and through this ministry, and we're delighted to hear about it. Share a praise report or prayer request at adailywalk@gmail.com. That's our email address, adailywalk@gmail.com. Well, today we'd like to tell you about an awesome t-shirt that displays Jesus is Essential on the front. We're hoping and praying that God will use these tees to not only bless and encourage you, but serve as an evangelistic tool as well. It's just $15 when you visit our e-store at adailywalk.org. Or call us if that's easier, 877-242-0828. The Lord has been our faithful provider through the years, and we're so thankful to Him and the many listeners that come alongside us to help pay for radio time. If you'd like to be a part of our support team or even just offer a one-time gift, that would be greatly appreciated. You can donate online at adailywalk.org. Stay connected with Pastor John Randall through social media. Look for Pastor John on Twitter at PJRandall7 and on Instagram at John P. Randall. And by the way, Pastor John goes live on Instagram every so often with morning devotions. It's a great way to start the day. Let's return to Pastor John now. Again, we're in 1 Peter 1.
In addition to being ever vigilant with what we set before our eyes, another practical step in the right direction is what the Bible says, taking every thought captive. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul wrote this. Make a note of it. He said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ." Both Peter and Paul are describing a disciplined mind. A mind that tests every thought, every emotion by the Word of God. The Word of God becomes the filter for my thinking. As I hide God's Word in my heart, I will not sin against the Lord. It becomes the filter for my thoughts, how I make my decisions, especially in times of trial. I don't trust my own heart. My heart's deceitfully wicked. I need a filter. I need something to run these thoughts through so that I know that when I respond, it's according to the Word of God. that I might be able to determine what's from the Lord, what's from the devil, and what's of my own flesh and carnal nature. And I can determine what I should accept and what I should reject. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're going through some severe trial that brings upon you fear. And fear can be crippling. It can immobilize you in your faith. But as I run those thoughts, those fears through the Word of God, I remember, wait a second, the Bible says that God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Bible tells me over and over again to not be afraid. And I recognize, where is that coming from? From the devil, from my own flesh. I choose to reject that. I take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I will not entertain that thought anymore because it's not from the Lord.
We'll get back into 1 Peter next time on A Daily Walk. Pastor John Randall will again focus on the battle of the mind.